first day of summer, isn't it? Isn't that right? Today's the 21st. And so hard to believe summer's already here. We've already been through winter and spring, and now we're in summertime. It's hard to believe. So it's like Brother Cooley said in his letter, time waits for no man. Amen. And eternity is swiftly approaching. It's getting here closer and closer every day that goes by. And it's amazing how quickly the days turn into weeks, and the weeks turn into months, and the months turn into years. And I mean, next thing you know, you turn around and time's just flown by. And it's just really something, isn't it? But the Lord's coming. That's what it reminds us of. The Lord is coming. Summer is coming. And summer's here. Amen. And so, but I think about when the Lord talked about Israel, talked about the signs that you could know that summer is nigh. Talk about the millennial kingdom. And summer's coming. Amen. We're seeing those signs. And that time is near. So anyways, but while we're here, thank God we've got a Bible. Got everything we need to live victoriously in this life. Amen. And so let's look in 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to pick up. And let's just read through all these verses again and kind of get the ball rolling in our minds and give you the thought that the Lord's put on our heart tonight. And kind of picking up where we left off Sunday night, he says in verse number 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world," or in this world. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." So we're continuing our study through 1 John, and we're looking through continuing, kind of working our way through this passage here. There's just so much in this passage dealing with love. Even though the topic of love's already been dealt with at least twice in the book of 1 John already, it's being dealt with in great detail here. And so it's taking a little bit of time to get through it all, and sometimes I think in my own mind I want to try to get through it a little quicker than God wants us to. And the thing is, I'm not the one. The preacher's not the one that decides that. When you're going verse by verse, you got to let the Word be the decider on that. Amen. I can't work it out the way I want it to work out. I have to work it out the way God wrote it. Amen. And so it's taking us a little time going through it, but I think it's good for us to slow down and to go into the details, because He goes into the details here. And what we've seen is we've worked our way through this passage. In verse number 7, the very first thing we find is that we have a responsibility in this thing. And that is the command, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God." And so there's a responsibility for us to love one another intentionally and actively love one another. Because though we do have the Spirit of God within us, and He says on two different occasions in this same passage, two different times He makes the statement, "God is love." And two different times He says that the nature of God's on the inside of us. So the God who's in love is inside us, causing us to love one another. Our flesh is still very much alive.
And the devil in this world wants to gain your love. That's what the world is vying for. The world and the devil is vying for your love and your attention and your affections. And you've got those two fighting each other. So the command is to love one another. So we have a responsibility in that, but we also have a reason for it too. Now, if God had just given the command, that would be enough. But He doesn't just give the command through John. He also gives a reason for it. He says in verse 7, "Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." So, you know, if you're born of God and you know God, listen, the world ought to expect us to love one another. They have the right to that. And I've said that many times, but listen, the lost world has the right to hold the Christian to a higher standard. The lost world, those on the outside, they do have the right to question us whenever we're not doing right. They do have the right to look at us and hold us to a different standard than the rest of the world, because listen, if we claim to be born of God and know God, listen, God is love. And Jesus told His disciples that this is one of the ways they'll know that you're My disciples indeed, because you love one another. And so there is a reason for it. He also gives a reason in verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." That's a good reason there. Listen, the least we can do for each other is to do what God's done for us. Amen. Listen, we'll never overlook more in each other than what God has overlooked in us to save us and love us. Amen. It's so easy that we'll hold everybody to such a higher standard than we hold ourselves, where we, you know, I should be accepted even for my faults and my failures, but boy, we don't do that for other people, you know. But God's overlooked a whole lot more in you to love you and save you than you and I will ever overlook in one another. Amen? And so we have a reason. But then, not only that, but we have a resource. And that's the most important part of it, because you can never do it on your own. It's not in us to love one another. It's in us for us to look out for us. And by the way, whenever we're given over to the flesh, that's what we do. That's what they were doing at the church at Corinth. It's all about number one. And listen, Christians are capable of that too. I mean, carnal, worldly Christians and church people, listen, they're looking out for number one. You know why churches split and churches have problems? Because somebody in there is looking out for number one. Their eyes on themselves. They're not loving one another. They're loving what I want, what I think. I'm the most important. And so they're thinking about their self. Matter of fact, just about every problem we have, spiritually speaking, comes down to that. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 22? "This is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. And the second one is likened to it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these hang all the law and the prophets." Listen, that's what it all hangs on. Any problem you have is a problem with you loving God like you should and loving others like you should. Amen. That's what it all comes down to. And so we have a resource in it, though, and that resource is God, because God is love. Again, verse 7, "Everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And so it's God and the Spirit of God that does any of the loving through us. If it's ever done, it'll be Him that does it. And it all comes down to whether or not we're going to give ourselves over to Him or give ourselves over to our flesh. It's all about who you submit to. It's all about who you feed. Amen? Which one is fed? And so the resource is God. It's not in us to do it. But then we have a revelation here in this chapter, or in this passage in verse 9. He reveals what love really even is and what He's talking about. Verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love." All right, so here it is. "Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And so there's the revelation there. He tells us exactly what He's talking about. And if you want to know what real love really is, junk everything you ever learned from Dr. Phil and Oprah and the world and Disney movies and everything else, and look right here. Look no further than 1 John 4, because this is real love. Amen. And by the way, this touches every area of our life. By the way, everything spiritual does. I mean, if you want to have a happy home and a happy marriage, you better make sure you're loving one another this way, not in a worldly way, right? Real love is sacrificial, and it's everything He claims it to be in 1 John 4. And so the revelation there, it's revealed to us. But then we're to be a reflection of it, verses 11 down through verse 16. We'll not read all the verses, but on down through those verses, He talks about how we are really to reflect the love of God. He says in verse 10, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. In other words, one of the main ways that this world even sees God is through the way that we love one another. Right? And so we're reflecting His love. I want to give you another one tonight as we look down through here, look at the next couple verses. Really verse number 17 and verse 18 is where we're kind of zone in, draw your attention to tonight. Not be long, but give you a couple things here, because not only are we to be a reflection and all these other things, but I want you to know that we are rich because of His love too. We are very, very rich because of God's love. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Let me tell you, there's a lot of riches to a human being in those two verses. As a matter of fact, some of the greatest riches that could ever be had are in those two verses right there. I'm talking about things that money, I'm talking about the dollar bill cannot buy. There's not enough money in the world to purchase the riches that can be obtained that He talks about in those two verses. We are rich because of the love of God. Now, He says in that verse 17, we're going to look at both verses. And in verse 17, He starts out with, herein is our love made perfect. All right? That phrase means to obtain a full end or to consummate, to come to completion. Herein is our love made perfect. Now, again, this love is produced by the Holy Spirit, and it culminates in a life entirely devoted to Christ. Okay? Again, it all comes down to who you feed. Your flesh is still alive. And you can hinder the love of God in your life and hinder your love for God. Amen. And so He says, herein is our love made perfect. And that word herein, that reaches back to the previous verse, and that connects that phrase, dwelleth in God, with we may have boldness. Okay? I know that's a little confusing, but just back up to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Okay, so herein, in other words, the fact that somebody dwells in God and God in him, that's what makes your love perfect. And he says that is what causes us to have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, that's some riches there. Amen. I mean, don't get too excited over it. Don't get too excited over being able to stand with boldness in the day of judgment. Amen? Because we preach judgment all the time, and you and I are going to stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. But when His love is perfected in us, we're able to have boldness and stand with boldness at the judgment when we're there. Amen? So, in other words, how else could we have boldness in His presence? Without our love being right with Him. Without things being right with us with God. And what that phrase does, it assures us of the blessing of the ability to stand before the judgment seat with unreservedness of speech. That's a big word. You get up here and try to say it. Unreservedness of speech, with nothing to hide, nothing to be ashamed of, to be able to speak freely before God. That's what it means to stand at the judgment with boldness. See, at the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible talks about how the earth and the heavens fled away. You know, and humanity, those, the dead, small and great, they're called out of hell, they're called out of the sea, and they're stand before God, the earth and the heavens flood away. In other words, there's nowhere to go, and there's nowhere to hide, there's nowhere to even stand. I mean, they're just there naked before God, as naked as they could possibly be. There's literally nowhere to go, not even a place to stand. And they're before God. And if you can imagine the sinner having to stand and those that face looking upon him in that condition, that's where we all were before we got saved. But now, because of the love of God, we have the ability, we have the blessing, the richness of being able to stand before God without shame and to be able to speak freely, not nothing to hide, nothing to be ashamed. And because we stand in the favor and love of God. See, don't let Satan defeat you in this thing. If you back up to chapter 1 and verse 9 of this same book, it still says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And then in the next chapter, chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence." Confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. That can be the reality of all of us. That we can have confidence for, you know, the coming of the Lord doesn't have to be something you dread. Doesn't have to be something you fear. Amen. It doesn't have to be something you, it can be something you look forward to. It can be your blessed hope. Amen. And then he says in the same verse, look at verse 17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." So how is it that we're able to have boldness in the day of judgment? Because as He is, so are we in this world. That's the reason why. Now you'll notice, he didn't say, "not as He was." And he didn't say, "not as He will be," or "will be," but as He is right now, faithful to His calling, fulfilling the purpose of God, the friend of sinners, full of love and pity, fought against by the world, free from all condemnation, favoring the will of God. That is Jesus Christ. That is as He is right now. And the Bible says that as He is in this world, that's the way we are. That's the way God sees us. And see, Christ will not condemn someone who is like Him. Amen. Listen, there's not enough money in the world to buy that. You know what it cost? It cost the darling Son of Heaven to purchase that for you. Amen. And we're rich in that. And the devil will really try to defeat you in that. He'll try to defeat you in that. And I tell you how he does it. He does it with the next verse. The next verse says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us." I never saw the connection in verse 18 and verse 19 until studying to get this ready for this message right before church. And that verse is very much connected to verse 18. Those verses are very much connected because in our flesh, we as human beings, we get the cart before the horse. The horse, we think that we're loving Him. That's what's keeping us on good terms with Him. But he's reminding you that we love Him because He first loved us. He's not loving you because you loved Him. That's the human way of thinking. That if I love somebody and if I do enough good for somebody and if I reach out for somebody, then they'll love me back. Right? That's the way teenage boys and teenage girls are. You know, he's trying to put his moves on the girl to get her to love him back. He drops his best pickup line on her to try to win her heart. Right? That's the way we think. And I drop my best ones on Hannah all the time. I ask her, you know, is your heart made of copper wire? Because I'm about to steal it, girl. All right. That is the way of thinking, though. We do for somebody to win their heart. But listen, that's the worldly thinking. That's the humanity's thinking, doing to win. But listen, that's not the way it is with God, because He loved us before we ever loved Him. He loved us when we were against Him. We loved Him when we were unlovable. He loved us when we were His enemies. And He's reminding us of that, because our human thinking will put fear in our heart. The devil in this world and your own heart will put fear down and will put doubts in your heart, because you've not lived up to God, and you've not lived up to His standard, and you've not lived up to His love, and you've disappointed Him. Therefore, human thinking is, God's mad at me. And God's going to quit loving me. And I'll tell you why that is, because that's the way we are. That's human nature, Miss Ann. Fallen nature. That if someone doesn't do me right, well, then I'm going to cut them off. If somebody doesn't do me right, then, you know, I'm going to get back and I'm going to get even. And we start thinking that God is like us when God is not like us. Amen. We love Him because He first loved us. Amen. And that's a big hang-up. That's a big place of defeat for a lot of people spiritually. Amen. He said, there is no fear. Fear or dread will not invade where love prevails. There is no fear in love. He uses that phrase perfect love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. See, loving God as perfectly as we can assures us of His love. It does not make Him love us more, but it does assure us more of His love. Amen? Because His love never changes, but your assurance can. Amen? And so loving Him as perfectly as we can assures us of His love, which in turn dispels fear and dispels doubt and dispels, you know, dread and concern and defeat in our life. I was just talking to a preacher today, just today, who was telling me about this family he has in his church, and a wife and daughter in his church, and then there's another daughter who had come to a meeting they had last year, and, you know, got down the altar, the Lord was moving, and I mean, she prayed and cried and prayed and prayed and prayed and got up, and they asked her, you know, something happened. She said she got saved, went out the door, and they never saw her again. Until the next year, when they had the meeting again, and here she come back. Well, what do you think happened? She's down on that same altar again, and she was crying, and she was praying, and she was crying. She got up, and she talked to the preacher, and he was asking, you know, is there anything I can pray with you about? Is anything happening? What can I help you? Well, what's going on? She went to the preacher, she said, I just don't know if I'm saved. She said, I just don't know. I said I got saved last year, and I thought I got saved last year, but I just really don't know if I really got it. And his response was this, and it made her mad, but his response was this, well, sure, you don't know if you're saved. Well, sure, you don't have any assurance. That's what she told him. She said, I just don't have any assurance. He said, well, sure you don't. You hadn't been to church in a year. And she got mad and left. You know? I mean, but it's the truth, you know? See, you can't love God imperfectly and then also be assured of His love. Now, whether she got it or not, I don't know. It's been her God. Sure don't look like she got anything. Sure don't look like it. But the reality is that, you know, we don't always love God perfectly. That is, completely and maturely, all those things. We don't love God that way. And so whenever that happens, fear and defeat and all those things will come into our life. And our love for God doesn't earn His love. We know that. Ephesians 2 verse 4 said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. So it's that rich in mercy that calls Him to love us. He said, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Amen? And so He loves us perfectly. We can't earn His love, but, you know, fear, He says in the verse, He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. because fear hath torment. Fear hath torment. Fear is a tormenting menace for people. We can permit fear and dread and doubt to linger in our hearts. And what that'll do is they'll keep our love from being fully developed. That is, perfected. The James Jones said this. I've quoted him several times in this series because his book on 1 John, if you don't have it, you ought to get it. His little survey on 1 John is tremendous. But he said in that book, he said, it is summed up in these words, talking about this passage. He said, it is summed up in these words, if we love Christ as we should, fear will be dispelled. We cannot help but wonder how much of God's work is hindered through fear. You know, I think probably that is one of the number one enemies in the lives of God's people. Now, I know of course, it's going to get back to, you know, the lust of the flesh. It's going to be rooted in that. But as far as like singling out one single thing, fear. A lot of people don't do what they should do for God because they're afraid. They're afraid of what somebody else is going to think. They're afraid of what somebody else is going to say. They're afraid of their peers. Amen. Parents are afraid of their kids. Kids are afraid of their parents. Amen. They're afraid that God won't come through. They're afraid that it won't all come together. It's just fear. And fear is the opposite of trust. Fear is the opposite of faith. And so I agree with what he said. Listen, there's no telling how much of God's work is hindered. Even presently, even now, there's no telling how much of God's work has been hindered in your life, your own life individually, personally, and in my life personally because of fear. Because if we'd admit it, we were just afraid. We were just afraid. Brother Andy Wells preached a message on fear a while back, and he said this in the message. He said, if fearing, we are not loving. If we're fearing, we're not loving. He said, if we aren't loving, we aren't keeping the commandments. And he said, if we're not keeping the commandments, God cannot unlock the storehouse of spiritual blessings. And how true that is. Amen. And the point is this, is that we are very rich in that we have the love of God. We hold this treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. And may His love be perfected us. May we allow His love to be perfected in us, that we could be greatly used. We could be used more by allowing His love to be perfected in us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word, for helping us with it. I pray that You'll take it and use it and bless it. Lord, help us to be, Lord, what You want us to be. Lord, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to realize the riches of Your love, and Lord, to be, Lord, given over and Lord, submitted to Your love, Lord, to love You as we should, and to love one another as we should. Lord, we know that's what it all comes down to. Father, that You might bless us, that You might work in us and use us in these days. Lord, we thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen.